Let's have an AA meeting. My name is Kat, and I'm an alcoholic. Hi. Welcome to the Monday Night Blue Chip speaker meeting at the NABA Club, where a member of Alcoholics Anonymous with 1 year or more of sobriety tells his or her story. And Frank is going to come up and introduce our speaker tonight.
Everybody, I'm Frank Waters, and I'm a recovered alcoholic. And our speaker tonight is Amy O. And I always refer to as Miss AA, Angry Amy. When she came in here, she was trying to watch my language, but I wasn't really prepared for this. But she was getting close to Amy. It was like getting close to a pissed off hedgehog. You know, it's like, you know, just spikes everywhere. And it's just sarcasm and just fear just dripped off of her. And being that I had a little time, I knew better than to confront her. Just let her have her rants. And today, she's one of the most loving, sweet people I've ever met. Complete turnaround from what she came in here as. You won't find anybody that's more huggable, well, maybe me, than Amy. She is a dear, dear woman, and she's an example of what, you know, of what happens if you come in here and stay here. Yeah, I give you Amy.
My name's Amy and I'm an alcoholic. My sobriety date is October the 13th of 2012. That's not my first sober date. My first sober date was 2005. And I could get no more than a couple of months in between. They say, and it's true, that when you get relapsed, you pick up right where you left off. That's how it happened for me. I'll tell you a little bit about me. My real parents, my daddy was a full-blown alcoholic. And my real mother killed herself. I was adopted. I was given a great life. They're the best that they could do with me anyway. My first drink, I was 9 years old. And all I know is my grandmother gave it to me. And I instantly loved it. It made me feel warm and tingly. And I knew I liked the way it felt. I had my first alcohol poisoning when I was 13 years old. What did they do? They put me in the hospital. They put me back together. Oh, there's nothing wrong with her. We can fix her. You can't fix something that don't want to be fixed. So I continued to drink. Worked. And drank. I was what they called a functioning alcoholic. Hit everything and covered it up with drinking. They took me to church, they prayed, they did all the stuff that they thought that they needed to fix, but I didn't want to be fixed. They gave me that courage that I wanted. I had some wild times. They always bailed me out of trouble. My mama was at work for the DA. My daddy worked for the sheriff's department. because it always bailed me out. Until I stole my daddy's police car and proceeded to wreck it. And still, they bailed me out of trouble. So, that's what he got when they said, "Oh, you're too drunk to take your car. We're taking your keys." Okay. All he knew is I went out the back door and he heard the car crank. So, don't tell me I can't ever do something. Time went by. I graduated, worked, and married the most worthless man I could never marry. And have the two kids that I later on gave up. But that was the only thing that I knew I did right. Was to put them in the car and say goodbye to them. They're teenagers now. I graduated high school this year. And they're alcoholics. And their reason, my daughter's reason behind it, is, "Mama, I like the way it makes me feel." Couldn't argue with it. But they're in a program now. She's one of us. She's doing really good. That was what it was like. And what happened was that I would think I would hit my bottom and I would do good for a while. And life got to me. I wouldn't, like Frank said, I wouldn't let nobody close to me. You thought you knew me? You didn't know me. Because I would never let anybody inside. And that went on for quite some time. I would come to meetings. I'd sit right there where Lisa is and never say a word. Nobody, I don't even think they knew my name at first. But I'd come and I would sit there every day. But then planted something to make me keep coming back. And I was in and out for a few more years. But relationships, I didn't know how to have them. I had victims and hostages. And I don't know who was dumber, me or them, because they never would leave. I would get them and use them. Now go. But you wouldn't get them to leave. And time, and I continued to drink. I hit my last bottom when they found me on the side of 285. Abused. Drunk and in a diabetic coma. And the little old man that found me, oh, he found a dead body. So they put me back together once again. And something had changed in that. because after that, I knew I didn't want to live like that no more. So I put my things back together once again. Put myself in detox. Went into a halfway house. And I knew it still had to change. I kept coming to meetings. I actually talked to people then. And I knew, all I knew is I didn't want to live like that no more. So, I want to focus on what it's like today. Today, my life is pretty good. I got my friends that are here. Which is something I've never really had. They've seen me go through some ups, some downs. Pull me out of my stuck places. But they always got my back. They, in between all the times that I come in and out, back and forth, the thing that stuck in my head was keep it simple. Keeping shit simple was easy. It was like black or white to me. There wasn't no in between, gray matter, whatever y'all want to call it. And I got the tools of the program, and I started using them. I started using all the little suggestions everybody's had. Because everybody's got a suggestion. But then I had to realize that suggestion ain't got nothing to do with me. That's the one you put Doug aside. Eventually, you're going to use it. And got a sponsor that I actually called this time. Or text or something. I got a network of friends now that I can just call and just say, hey. And it's important. I got one that checks in with me almost every day. I don't know if it does our good, but it sure does me. And if anybody knows me, I don't talk much. Because I'm nervous. I'm scared. But I'm not angry. Anymore. Because like Frank said, I was angry for a very long time. Kat can tell you. She goes, can I hug you one day? No. And she backed away. But now, it's like, it's different. But it's a good different. Having people to support you now and see all the good you're doing. Gives you so much gratitude. Things happened in my life, and I went back to my 3/4 house. Not because I drink, because life got really hard. And it's not, and there for a while I thought, going backwards. Since I've been there, I finally looked at the whole picture, not just the one thing about going backwards. The whole picture was showing me how much I've grown. What AA has taught me, growing up and changing, and how to love myself. Because at one time, I thought suicide was my answer. And I know I'm jumping all over the place, but you would know that about me if you actually ever got to me. But today I come in here. I have a home group that I'm really involved in. If there's usually a function, you will usually find me there. And today I have accounts. I have work. I have my family. It actually talks to me now. And I have my AA family. It's always going to be there. For all you that want to know how I came out of my little cage that I was so wrapped up in and so mad, is that I learned how to pray. And prayer works. And when I started, I didn't know how to pray. But I was doing it all alone. And most days, it's God, help me. And that's how I got to where I am today. I know I didn't talk the whole 45 minutes or whatever, but anybody knows me, I talk more now than I ever have. I want to thank Tim for asking me, and thank y'all for being here.
Good job, Amy. I love you.
So fast and wild. After time.